Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and just the spirit that we sense in this place is just a place of refuge and being ministered to by special songs and being able to sing praises unto the Lord. Just something about that you don't get anywhere else. Amen. You can't get this atmosphere anywhere else than in Christ's church. And so it's just a blessing to be able to be back in church on this Sunday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 3 John, the book of 3 John. On Sunday nights, some time ago, we started teaching the divisions of the Bible. And in the division, starting the book of Genesis, and we studied and to realize why each book was there in that particular division of the Bible. And so we got through the Old Testament, then we got into the New Testament, and now we're toward the end. Just got two more books of the Bible, Jude and the book of Revelation. One more book of the general epistles. And so the book of Jude is the last of the general epistles. And so these are practical Christianity. These books, these epistles are for practical Christianity. And I trust you've seen that as we've been looking at each one of these books and being able to have an emphasis on every one of these that God has planted here in these general epistles. And tonight in 3 John, it's the last general epistle. Now, of course, the very same John also was used to pen the book of Revelation. He penned the book of the Gospel of John, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation. So John actually was used to pen 5 of the New Testament books of the Bible, second only to the Apostle Paul. And so it just filled with so much good stuff as you read the writings of John. Of course, we know that he was led by the Spirit of God. These were all Holy Spirit inspired to write exactly what God wanted to be written. And then that which was inspired by God, God's preserved. Now, I'm sure that John wrote a lot of other letters, but these 5 were inspired by God. And then we know they were inspired because they are preserved by God. And he preserved them in his holy word. And so we have this. And the 3 John, you're going to read an entire book of the Bible tonight. So stand with me. We're going to read all 14 verses. And only 14 verses in the book of 3 John. This is a church without a pastor. And he reveals some things in addressing 3 different church members as to something that we can expect in just about every church, and some things that can help us as a church family to be able to keep the church a place of refuge. Okay, if Satan can steal away our refuge as believers, he will. And if we're going to live and shine as the light that God wants us to be, then we need to be recharged. I think coming to church for the believer is to be recharged, amen, to be encouraged, to be excited, to be admonished, to go out and to continue to live the life that Christ wants us to live as his ambassadors, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And in order to do this, we need to have a church. We need to have our assembly and coming together and sensing God's presence here. And again, just being here, you're better off after being here even up to this point. If you had to leave right now, you're better off coming tonight and receive what's already been presented tonight to encourage you as a Christian. Now, we don't leave right now, amen? Don't check out. Don't check out because we have the preaching of the Word of God. That is to take place as we assemble ourselves together as well. And it's going to be preaching the Word. We're looking at this. Before you leave here tonight, I trust that you're going to have a better understanding of why we have this letter, this epistle. Epistle means letter, and we call it the 3rd book of John, okay? And so it will be insightful. I trust you'll leave here with a greater understanding of the Word of God than what you did when you came in. So this is realizing a church, the theme here is a church without a pastor. And so let's read here, starting in verse 1. The elder, and that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper to be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name, that's Jesus Christ, for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for what we've already experienced being in church. Now, Father, as we have opened up your holy word and we look here at this epistle, the third epistle of John, I pray that you'd give us all insight and understanding into this book of the Bible. Pray that you would empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So here we find the Apostle John addresses himself as the elder. Now, realize, John was an apostle. Most of the time you find Paul addressing with his letters, he refers to himself as the apostle of Jesus Christ. That is the highest calling during this time, this biblical church age, was Jesus Christ chose his apostles. During the apostolic age, he worked through those apostles and continuing to establish his church, to see the churches started all over, and also to finish the New Testament books of the Bible. They did not have the completion of the New Testament until after the apostolic age. The Bible says, when that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with. Okay, and so the apostles actually spoke the words of God. But now that they had all of the preserved word of God together, that is perfect. God's word is perfect. Okay, it changes not. Amen, as we preached on this morning. And so when that came, there was no need for the position of an apostle, someone who actually spoke the word of God. Now we have preachers or prophets, if you will. A prophet, a New Testament prophet, is just a preacher. He is preaching the Bible. He is preaching what God has preserved for us as his word. There's no new revelation today. Once the Bible was completed, it was complete. There's no new revelation. Okay, you don't have to depend on somebody else to hear something in the middle of the night or whatever it might be to bring it to you and tell you this is a revelation from God. That is not what the Bible says. That's not how God communicates with us. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching today. Preaching his word. He's preserved his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. Amen. So we have the promise that God says that we, now that we have the completion, it will never pass away. We'll have it throughout this New Testament church age. God is preserving that for us. And so praise the Lord for that part of it. So here we find that John addresses this church. He's writing to this church and he addresses this church as the elder. Okay, now, the elder, because the elder is also a word that they would use, a description they would use for what we would look to as the pastor. Okay, they would also look at a bishop. There's three different words that you can look at to make up the position that God has established for the church. God has established in the church a position of a pastor. Okay, that's also looked at as an elder and also as a bishop. Okay, now those three present the position of a pastor for New Testament church. The other position, the only other biblical position that has qualifications to it, is that of a deacon. So the New Testament church today, according to the Bible, you have two biblical positions, that of a pastor and that of a deacon. Every other position that we have in the church are helpers in the church, okay, to get the work done that God has for the church to get done. And so, but John here does not refer to himself as the apostle, and there's a reason for that, because he would be the one that would have been the pastor of this church. That's why he refers to himself as the elder. The early churches would often meet in members' houses. They did not have the blessings that we do to be able to have property and build buildings like this, to have our church in this building here. But as they would establish the churches many times in that time, the first century church, they would be small and they would establish their churches in houses. And there was not enough pastors to go around. Matter of fact, we find that that Paul mentioned in Titus that he was going to leave him in Crete to go back around and establish elders in every one of the churches that were started. And so during this time, there would have been something that you might want to refer to as circuit riding pastors. Okay, meaning that they would be pastor over more than one church. Now that happened here in the United States, especially in the South, because sometimes the mountain, the different areas were hard to get to, and so they didn't have enough to support one pastor, their only pastor. But so there would be a circuit riding preacher that would go around, and he might have three or four different churches that he would go to, and he would preach at different times, okay, in order to get God's word to that particular congregation, that particular church. And so this is nothing new, but we find this is what the third John reveals to us, that John would have been looked at by the people as the elder or the pastor of this church. He was not there. Okay, how often he got back to the church, we don't know. It doesn't say, but God has chosen to record this for us. Now, no doubt, especially in this church age, in this 21st century, it is God's will for every church to have their own pastor. Okay, if they can afford that, if they can work that out, no matter how small, no matter how large, God has every church. He would have every church to have their pastor to oversee the flock of God and to fulfill the position that God has established for the pastor. But John had written to this church first, addressing it to Diotrephes. Now look at verse 9. Just establishing this to be able to then give you the message of the epistle here. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He did not want to acknowledge John's position as an apostle, nor did he want to look at John as the pastor of this church. So when he wrote the church, when the letter came to the church, this Diotrephes would not allow it to be presented to the church. And so as John heard of this, he knew that there was a problem in that church. And so John, then he writes to the well-beloved Gaius. Amen. Everybody follow me here. And so we find that as he addresses Gaius, then he would address two others in the church. He would address Diotrephes, and then he would address Demetrius. And God's preserved this for us so that we can learn from this. Can I tell you, there is this mentality of all three of these types of people in the church. In most churches, you'll find that you'll have somewhat of this, maybe not exactly following it, but they would have tendencies to have these types of this type of thinking in the church. And so first of all, the one that received the letter, the one that John decided to write to once he heard that Diotrephes would not present it to the church. Then he wrote, and that could have been when he left, that these three were deacons in the church. Not pastors, but they were going to help take care of the church while the pastor was gone. And when he come back to there, then he would address the church's need, and they would do this until they would establish one man to be the pastor of this church. Possibly these all three had a possibility, maybe they were candidates that were in the church that would eventually become the pastor of the church. And John would, as Titus was doing, okay, help every church to have elected and to establish a elder or a pastor in that church. And so we find here that he writes to Gaius, reveals some good things about Gaius. John lets him know that he rejoices over his convert walking in the truth. And now look what he says here. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Gaius, you realize that the truth is what's most important in the church. Today we would say that would be doctrine. The doctrine of the church is what's most important in the church. You cannot change doctrines. You cannot get away from the doctrines of the Bible for the church. The church is here to represent Jesus Christ. We represent Jesus Christ by holding to the doctrine of Christ, what he established. And so he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, he was not John's son, okay, but he was someone that John more than likely had led to the Lord. Oftentimes, Paul would refer to his converts as his children in the Lord. Those that he led to Christ and those that he was discipling, amen, to serve God. And so no doubt in this particular church, that this Gaius would have been maybe three. He first of all wrote to Diotrephes, and we'll see that in just a minute here. He could have been the head deacon of the church, if you will. He might have been the one that John thought would become the pastor, but for whatever reason, we don't know how long he had been gone from the church, but the church has started going in a different direction underneath his authority. And so now we find, he says to Gaius, "You're holding on to the truth. What a blessing it is for me to have reports and hear what's going on, that you realize how important it is to preach the truth and to stand on the truth and not to look to change the doctrines of the church." He said, "I'm rejoicing over that." And understanding the purpose of the church is to advance the cause of Christ. Every true church that looks to Jesus Christ as the head of the church, that holds on to the doctrines that Jesus Christ established, is looking to advance the cause of Christ. And when we understand that, then we need to do all we can to support each one that's a part of looking to advance the cause of Christ. And that's after this, and we find in verse 5 down through 8. Now, John let him know that he's rejoicing over this convert walking in the truth. He would not allow himself to be misled by false teachings of Diotrephes. No doubt, knowing this in the same church, you have a Gaius and you have a Diotrephes, there's going to be somewhat of a battle in the church. And when you have the church members battling each other, then you kind of lose the unity and the spirit of the church. And so he knew this was somewhat going on, and so he's wanting to encourage the one that's holding to the truth. And he tells him, "You need to continue this." He says, "I'm so happy, I rejoice over you holding and walking in the truth." It's sad, but even today, and as we go all the way back to the first century church, and we go back to Jesus establishing the church, there was a Judas. Someone that didn't really believe the truth. Someone that really, if he had his way, would change the truth. But the Lord had us to see how that there, even in the first church, which was one that Jesus established, had a Judas in it. Not everyone in the church has right thinking. We should not be looking around to see who doesn't have right thinking, who has wrong thinking, that's not it. We ought to come together and just focus on doctrine, focus on the preaching of the word, focus on the encouragement and the admonition of one another. We're going to see some of these things. That's why we're coming together to see the cause of Christ move forward. But we should not be so naive as to think that everybody that comes to this church and set in these pews are doctrinally sound. If you believe that, then those that are not doctrinally sound might have a wrong influence on you. And Gaius, I don't want you to be influenced at all by a Diotrephes. And I'm rejoicing that you realize the difference there. And you are standing on the truth. You are continuing to do what the church was established for you to do. You see what he's saying here? And so he says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. Diotrephes did not want to welcome strangers, and he did not want to support anyone outside the church. He wanted to isolate the church and to build a kingdom within his own church. Losing sight of the main purpose is the church of Jesus Christ that is worldwide. Amen. We are to be aware of the world and sending missionaries into the world. We are to go into all the world to see souls saved and discipled for Christ. That is the cause of Christ, getting people an opportunity to get saved and to be discipled to live for Him. Amen. Having a love for all humanity, as God had a love for the world, He sent His own Son because of His love for all humanity. That should not change. That's genuine Christianity. So, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. I'm glad that you're not allowing Diotrephes to influence you. You stand strong and you continue to be the influence. Instead of being influenced by something that is not right, you continue to be an influence in the church for that which is right. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. There was those coming through, missionaries, and those that were serving God that needed the support and help of the church more at that time because of the circumstances that was, and the church was there to help them. As long as they were looking to advance the cause of Christ, they had the right doctrine, then encourage them in what they're doing. And John says, continue to do that. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Keep doing what you know that Christ would have you to do. Be fellow helpers to the truth. Not just in the church that you're in, especially in the church that you're in, but don't limit it to just your church. Be supporters of all fellow helpers to the truth. It's Bible. Now with that, let me share a few verses with you. Write these verses down. I'm just going to go through and read them to you. First of all, I want to take you to Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says this. Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Now Paul is addressing the believers, and he's telling them these are some of the things that you ought to do. But one of the things there that goes right along with what John was trying to get Gaius to continue to do is distributing to the necessities of the saints and giving to hospitality. That's Christianity. In Hebrews in chapter 13, and again, just write these down so you don't lose sight of these. But Hebrews in chapter 13, and verse 2, Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Once we get through this series, we're going to start a series on angelology. The Bible has much information for us concerning angels and how real they are and the purpose they have. The good angels that are in heaven and are serving God, and God appoints to minister to the saints. And then those which be evil angels, the fallen angels, which would be demons and evil spirits. And that's something that we're going to get into because I think it's something that we need to understand. But that's going to be after we get through with the divisions. So there's more and more to learn when you come back on Sunday night. Amen? You just want to continue to learn more about what the Bible teaches. And so this is something the Bible teaches us to do. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Don't realize that that could be just a test of God. How will you treat someone who identifies with Christ, especially that identifies with Christ, that you have an opportunity to encourage and to admonish and to help? Wow. That mentality ought to be ours. This is the mind of Christ, and we ought to have the mind of Christ, and we ought to do what Christ would have done in looking to encourage and to admonish those that are serving him, especially those that are serving him. We ought to do it to all and try to get all to get saved, but especially to those in this particular letter is addressing the cause of Christ and the work of the church and helping others to get the job done. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this: use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality. All of that is being fellow helpers to the truth. Can I tell you, if you can't do something good, the very least you ought to be able to do is not to do something bad. If there's somebody that you just don't feel like that I can be an encouragement to because of whatever reason, and it doesn't just kind of go together, can I tell you, we all have different types of personalities, and we come from different backgrounds, and sometimes our personalities, even within the church, will clash. And there's certain people that you might not like and be able to fellowship with, but you need to love. And you need to support in Christ. If you cannot, for whatever reason, just the personality conflict or whatever it might be, I had a sister that way, and I, of course, I've got a large family. I'm the youngest of 7 boys, 6 girls in the family, so there's going to be a lot of personalities in a family that size. And I had one sister that I knew that all I could do is have surface relationship with. Now, I loved her, but if I got anywhere outside of a surface relationship, we would be fighting each other. Because she did not see things the way I saw things, and I did not see things the way that she saw things. But I still loved her. She was my sister. I was her brother. But we learned how we can fellowship in areas that we can agree upon. Everyone in this church can agree upon, we have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have the same indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That ought to unite us. If you don't have anything else that you can fellowship over, you have those things. And use those things, if you will. If you cannot do anything else in your power to encourage, don't be a stumbling block. If you can't be a Gaius, make sure that you're not a Diotrephes. Amen. Yeah. I trust that we can encourage based on that which we have in common. You hear me say this often, but I think it's much better to love at a distance than to fight up close. Yeah. Love at a distance. If you get to, my sister, I love at a distance. You know, when we used to get together, she's in heaven today. She knows I was right, she was wrong now. She would never admit it while she lived, but now she knows. Amen. She sees all things clearly. Yeah. Now, I might be in for a shock when I get there myself. Who knows? But But love at a distance. If you're going to fight up close, then just make sure that you're not being a stumbling block. Yeah. So then that's what he addresses, Gaius. The other would be Diotrephes. Was he once a good man? Can I tell you, Paul or John wrote to him first. So when John left, he thought the church was in good hands, that this was a good man. Something happened. Bible doesn't tell us. Bible tells us that he wrote to him first. And then it tells us something about Diotrephes. He wanted to have the preeminence. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, whom loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. He didn't want to have a pastor over him. He didn't even want to acknowledge John as an apostle over him. He wanted control. He wanted to be the one to establish the guidelines. He wanted to be the one to determine what they did and didn't do. He had this mindset of selfishness. Typical signs of an old nature is I want, I deserve. We don't have time because of the time running out, but Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, it reveals to us the nature of the devil himself. He did not want God to be his God. He wanted to be like God. Satan is the enemy of Christ's church. And he will use selfish motives within the congregation, if we allow him to cause divisions within Christ's church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, but most of the time it implodes from within. Yeah. It starts imploding from within with this kind of mentality. Can I tell you that even Jesus had to address that with his apostles in the first church that was established? Look back in Matthew chapter 23. Let me just read it to you if you'd like. Matthew chapter 23. And we're almost done here, so just hang in there with me here. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Do you want man's blessings, or do you want God's blessings? If we're looking to serve God and we want God's blessings upon our lives, then we need to humble ourselves. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I like what Luke says about it, and somewhat the very same thinking, very same thought. In Luke in chapter 22, in verse 24, and there was also strife among them. Even within Christ's inner circle, there was strife. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Who's going to be able to have the say-so? Who's going to be able to determine what we do? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. So you following the world's direction, or are you following the example of Christ? If you want to be exalted by Christ, if you want the blessings of God, then you have to be the one that says, I am not the one that has to have my way, and I'm not the one that's going to be leading. I just want to praise God that I can serve in his church. And if everybody had that type of mentality, can I tell you that we would have the unity and we would have the blessings of God in every service. And can I tell you, I think we do. For the most part, praise God, I think we do. But we have to be aware. We have to be aware of this possibility of a diatriphes. Ultimately, Jesus is the one who must have the preeminence because he is God. So we find that this diatriphes, John's message, beloved, if you look at verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So if it's not following after the establishment, the way that God established it, if it's not following after the ways of Christ, the mentality of Christ, it's not someone that you want to be influenced by. To be influenced by someone, we have to allow it. get a hold of that. In order to be influenced by somebody, we have to allow that person to influence us. In order to be hurt by somebody, you have to have expectations of that person. Somebody that you have no expectations of cannot hurt you. But if you have expectations of anybody, then you have given that person an opportunity, a place to be able to either encourage you or to hinder you. Amen. That's so true. So Paul, or John writes to Gaius, and he says, I'm thankful that you're not allowing Diotrephes to influence you. Gaius, you still stay focused on being the influence. The church needs you. And then he gives us one last one. Only one verse with Demetrius. But we find here that now John is writing to Gaius. He addresses Diotrephes, and then he points Gaius to Demetrius. Demetrius hath a good report of all men. He has proven himself to be a good man. That's what John's saying to him. Gaius, there's help there in the church for you. There's others who want to stand where you're standing. There's other good men and good women in the church. Don't be so focused on one that's not thinking right and one that is not doing right to allow that to influence you, because you have a church filled with those who want to do right, who can encourage you to do right. Because there are Demetriuses in every good church. He hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. How can you tell it? Because he's standing on truth. It's evident Diotrephes is not standing on truth. He is not wanting to follow the commandments of Christ and be the church that Christ established the church to be. But Demetrius is. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. So he says, you're not alone. Diotrephes was doing evil, but Demetrius was doing good. He has a good report. Can I tell you that when there is divisions in the church, we should never take sides based on friendships? should never take sides based on family. Church's size, and we've been together for 34 years, there's a lot of people that are related. That's just what happens in a larger church when you've been together for all this time. Sons and daughters grow up with other sons and daughters, and they get married, and they have children that has two sets of grandparents in the church, and that will just continue to to grow and grow and grow. Don't take sides just because it's family. Don't take sides because it's someone you're closer to. Always stand where Christ stands. Amen. Always do what Christ would do. Because he needs to have the preeminence in the church. And lastly, he says, and maybe even to some of the new members, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. You see, he says, as the pastor, I'm coming back, and I'm going to deal with things face to face. You see, churches that do not have a pastor, that because the pastor resigned or whatever it might be, they're going to have more of this type of a situation in it. There's going to be power struggles. There's going to be every types of individuals trying to say this and the others. You're going to have this. Now, most churches that have a pastor, that's why God has given a pastor, so that he can oversee the flock of God. And he knows what the Bible says so that he can support that which is right. The one that cannot stand because of friendships, the one that cannot side with family, the one that is going to give an account to God for how he deals with every issue in the church is the pastor. Amen. I look at this as every member being part of this family. Amen. And I don't separate anybody because they've been here longer than this person, or they have a closer relationship to me than this person, or they might even be blood relatives. I look at everybody as being equal. I look at everybody as being the family of God in this church. And we together want to accomplish God's work and stand on his doctrine and be the light that he wants us to be. So he says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. Don't leave the church because of Diotrephes. We're going to deal with that. And I think every negative influence in the church needs to be dealt with. But greet thy friends and wait till John can address the problems. Amen. Look for those that have a desire to carry on the work of Christ. Amen. Every church can benefit from this practical book of 3 John. It identifies some problems that we might end up facing in every church, and it directs us in what we need to do to keep the unity of the church so that we might continue the work which Christ established for us to do. Praise the Lord. We have the book of 3 John. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you had to identify yourself with one of these three, I don't want you to tell me. I just want you to, if you had to identify yourself with one of these three, who could you best identify with? If it's not the good guys, maybe we need to work more on being a Gaius. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of this book of 3 John and how important it is to keep the church the place of refuge for all that come through the doors. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to bless this church and bless the unity of this church so that we can accomplish greater and greater things for the cause of Christ. We can be a refuge for all who come through the doors. God, I pray that you would just continue to encourage each and every member to be all they can be in following after the example of our Savior. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.